Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Tesvav b'chodesh Kislev, parashas vayishlach, tavshinayin vav, the evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 26 November 2015, webcasting from the most fought over piece of dry land on the third planet from the sun. And if you want to know why, put me on pause. Open a new browser. Go to the DPP blog, the latest one, and check out an entry I put in, a link to a video on the Arut Sheva site. It lasts 1 minute and 40 seconds. Watch it, and then get back to me. Okay, if you want to know why an Israeli soldier was ambushed yesterday in Judea and had a knife plunged into his neck, and his assailant was shot dead, and why today another would-be assassin, a Muslim, in Samaria, jumped out of a taxi to stab a Border Patrol soldier, but his mates got the drop on the varmint in time and killed him. Consider this video. The speaker, I think, is an Irishman, judging by his accent, and he's ranting about us Jews here, and really all Israelis since 1948, and you have a taste out of the out-of-control, murderous hatred of Jews have known throughout history. Think of World War II. 60 million people were killed. Millions more were wounded, maimed, and mutilated. Whole cities reduced to smoking rubble. And why? Because of hatred like this that is just off the charts. It's not sober. It's not balanced. It's not even thinking. This guy is off the rails in a fantasy life of Jews as wild dog killers, when, of course, we're always in the realm of psychological projection. It's his own demented desire to murder us that he's projecting onto us. I speculate that this guy is a modern incarnation of a medieval Irish Catholic priest on Good Friday, frothing at the mouth about the perfidious Jews as he delivered his required sermon entitled The Perfidy of the Jews. Actually, there was good news on that score today. A report in J-Post citing a Tuesday edition of the Catholic Herald in England in which British bishops have appealed to the Vatican to change the text of a Good Friday prayer, as it stands for some people. Last month was the 50th anniversary of the papal bull Nostra Aetate in our times, according to which the Jews were no longer to be seen as guilty for the crucifixion of one of the 250,000 crucified by the Romans. The Jews at the time were all collectively guilty, according to the church, in the vernacular of killing God, but no longer would living Jews be smeared with the inherited guilt for that cosmic crime. Just the Jews at the time were guilty. And evidently, this item was not quite clear. Since then, Nostra Aetate, the prayer on Good Friday, was also changed, except a minority has rejected it, and this requests a change in the minority position. That prayer calls for the conversion of the Jews, like Michelle Bachmann a couple of weeks ago, if only, apparently, by a tiny percentage of Catholics, and that's what they want to see changed. Well, this is progress. But, like the emancipation of the Jews in late 18th century and early 19th century Europe, promoted by the intellectual elite, which did not sit well with the masses, one suspects that there are still too many Catholics and Protestants out there who grit their teeth at the Jews who refuse to convert, and worse, continue to crucify the ancient Palestinians, as this activist in this video clip tells us. Jews have been murdering them, he says, since day one of the State of Israel. I found his performance fascinating for its monomania, its one-dimensional view of Jews as evil incarnate, who kill the ancient ones, apparently, with no pangs of conscience, which, of course, is what the Arabs do to us every day. Today, another 20-year-old girl soldier died in an accident when the bus she was on, full of soldiers, was overturned in an accident. Like 40 of them aboard were injured. She got the worst, pinned beneath the vehicle. And the driver is claiming he was cut off or something like that by an Arab driver. I have no idea if that is true, though I can testify to the quality of Arab drivers on our roads, so it's perfectly plausible what he says. Some say the bus driver was going too fast and lost control. That's also quite possible given the behavior of Israeli drivers, including the bus drivers. But also possible was the absence of malice on the part of an Arab in another car. They just drive like that, like lunatics, all the time. They seem to have no sense of the physics of the procedure of driving and how one mistake in an object weighing a ton or more of metal with flammable fuel aboard, hurtling forward at maybe 50 miles an hour, how dangerous that can be. They drive like children in the bumper cars at the amusement park. In any case, another dead Jewess. But sticking to this video with that hysterical anti-Jew, he reminded me as well of Nazi Germany. This man clearly has in his head a view of the Jewish community in the world as a band of sadistic murderers lacking all conscience that allows them to constantly kill ancient Palestinians. Of course, he is a classic anti-Jew who smears us with the worst behaviors of people like himself and the Arabs. Everything that he says about us applies to them, who every day now try to murder us at random with a knife, with a car, with nincompoops like John Kerry, who was just here, not understanding anything. He wanted Israel to make gestures through the victims of Zionism as a way of improving the situation. He wants to see building in Area C, which Oslo denies them, as a way of soothing the savage breast of these conscienceless barbarians engulfed in hatred and their desire to murder any and all of us. There was a very interesting piece in the J-Post magazine last Friday by one of the translators at the Nuremberg trial after the war, a Henry Kissinger type. He was a teenager in the 1930s in Germany who fled with his family to the States. And then during the war, a few years later, served as a translator in the U.S. Army after the conquest of Germany, and as part of the Nuremberg proceedings, interviewed, or at least recorded the interview with Rudolf Höss, who ran Auschwitz, quoting Hitler, saying, quote, "If we do not exterminate the Jewish race, then the Jewish race will annihilate the German people." I was, quote-unquote, happy to read that, as it confirmed what Jeffrey Herfst said in his book of a few years ago on anti-Jew propaganda inside Germany during the war. He, too, said, what I'd never seen before, that Hitler really believed that the Holocaust was preemptive. Hitler believed the Jews were out to kill all Germans, take over Germany, and then the world. Hitler's fear of Jews virtually enslaved his mind so that he could not think clearly. He was obsessed with Jews and their satanic designs against Germany, he believed. But, of course, he was the one with satanic designs against Jews. Likewise, this guy in this video, I just found him out of control in his mental life. His inhuman, one-dimensional view of Jews and the evil we are constantly executing. We saw at the Paris massacre 2 weeks ago, something like that. In the wake of it, there was the foreign ministress of Sweden, literally committing suicide that country, blaming the Israeli-Palestinian conflict for its role in that horror, with, of course, the unspoken implication that Israel is the bad guy in that relationship, whose badness bears guilt for the horror in Paris. Joining her as well was a former foreign minister in Iceland, one John Hannibalsson, who asked people to pray not only for the French victims, but the ancient Palestinians. Likewise, a former deputy prime minister in England, John Prescott, wrote in the Daily Mirror this week about Paris and brought up the bad blood in Israel and the Palestinian territories. Likewise, a former president of Finland, Martti Ahtisaari, a Nobel Peace Prize winner, who also brought up Israel and the Palestinians in his response to Paris. Jimmy Carter has done this. Jimmy Carter wrote not one, but two books excoriating Israel for its treatment of the... This is why John Kerry and others will never understand the violence here, which has nothing to do with alleged Jewish crimes against the phantom Palestinian nation, and everything to do with the same hatred of Jews today as we have known as a people over thousands of years. And this is why Israel, the modern state, is forever banging its head against the wall by trying to make nice to the Arabs here in hopes they can be turned into friendly and cooperative neighbors. turn them into, as Hillary Clinton thinks, peaceful and tolerant Muslims. No, the violence here is unlike any other conflict between peoples on the third planet from the sun. And that was Psalm 121. Yes, the hatred of Israel is unlike any other hatred in the world. The very idea of Jews at all is known to rattle the mind. And who are the Jews? As Hitler cursed us, we are the people who brought conscience into the world, a knowledge of good and evil, and guilty feelings. Jews also gave the world to Sigmund Freud's observation that without guilt, civilization is impossible. And it seems to be central to this massacre in Paris. And in effect, every one of the scores of thousands of crimes of terror committed by Muslims in my lifetime alone. They have no conscience. They have no empathy. Guilt runs off them like water off a duck's back. Memory.org reported on a sermon in a mosque in Jerusalem last Friday, a week after the Paris massacre, delivered by one Issam Amira, who said that the Paris attacks had been planned and carried out by the intelligence agency of a Western country in order to pin the blame on Islam. He prayed to Allah to, quote, deal with America and with European and Russian allies and to kill each and every one of them. How disgusting is the media, he said, which filled the world with arrogance and with its condemnation of the Paris bombings, even though there is evidence to prove these bombings, according to the analysis of one politician, were carried out by the intelligence agency of an anti-Islamic Western country. O Allah, who revealed the Quran, who moves the clouds and defeats enemies, deal with Americans and their allies and supporters from among the Europeans, the Russians, and other heretical infidels. O Allah, count them one by one and kill each and every one of them. Do not leave a single one alive. Close quote. Yeah. All those Europeans, all those Russians, all those Americans, everyone. I'm guessing that during the darkest days of World War II, there was not one Western preacher or rabbi who called for the extermination of every human being in Germany and or Japan. I doubt the thought ever occurred to anyone. Oh, bomb the bastards into submission, but once they submit, to kill every German and every Japanese? What's going on here is a man who experiences guilt as a sensation that is simply intolerable, and he must rid himself of it. And I think it's also on display in the behavior of the Islamophile in the Oval Office. That was Fort Hood. When Baruch Goldstein did what he did, there was a unanimity of opinion in Israel, minus a statistically insignificant percentage, who recoiled at what he did and supported the Prime Minister's condemnation from the podium of the Knesset. Versus Obama, who, shamed by Fort Hood, was incapable of, so to speak, excommunicating the Muslim maniac, of attaching any guilt to Islam whatsoever. He denied Islam had anything to do with his satanic outburst. Likewise, following the head chopping of American journalists by ISIS, there he was chastising Christians for the Crusades instead of Islam, which again he said had nothing to do with those head chopping horrors. As Muslim Jew hatred had nothing to do with the massacre of four Jews in the Ibel Kashir grocery store, according to him. This guy is functionally, de facto, if not de jure, a Muslim who cannot handle guilt. I remember his response to Bill O'Reilly's interview when the IRS scandal broke. Instead of vowing to get to the bottom of the accusations, he said there was not one ounce of corruption. And today, in his Thanksgiving radio address, he chastised fellow Americans for their lack of charity and not wanting to bring in 10,000 more Muslims to infiltrate the country. In addition to the already 680,000 Muslims Obama has brought into the country in his time in office and given green cards to. I read that in the Washington Examiner yesterday and I thought I was going to faint. I had no idea it was that bad. According to the report, the Department of Homeland Security, in the past 5 years, the president issued 680,000 green cards to people coming from 38 Muslim countries. This guy, as I tell you, the greatest enemy agent in the history of enemy agents, presiding over an invasion of his own country. He promised to fundamentally change the United States, and this is what he had in mind, to make the U.S. home to a significant Muslim population, and thereby fundamentally change the country. In his first inaugural address, he slapped the Jews in the face, and in the next sentence, spoke of a new relationship with Islam when throughout all of American history there never had been a relationship to Islam, only relations with different Islamic countries as political entities, not as religious Muslim entities. What I'm saying is that in his own subdued way, Obama is as paranoid about the U.S. as that Muslim preacher in Jerusalem last week. In that inaugural address, he exposed his view that the U.S. one, had a relationship to Islam, and two, by implication, it was less than friendly, and he wanted that to change. This is a delusion. I'm frankly out of patience with the pundits, even the conservative ones in the States, who continue to criticize him for his weak and failed strategy towards ISIS. They criticize him that he is in denial and saying ISIS is contained and his strategy is working. I have a different view. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is as aware as they of the quote-unquote failure of his policy, with the difference being that he's not in denial. He really wants not to defeat ISIS. I say he's not only incapable of dealing with the guilt of Islam, he's incapable of going to war with Islam because he wants Islam to win.
بايت على الجبار هاتتي اوتو باهاف تاليتي قام من شلت على دلت بسوفو يشم احد سيارتي عدتو تيم قام ناد نذاك تنا تاليتي باقينا بشويل شعار תוכלי להתנדנד אל תוך החלומות שלך ואז כשיורד הערב על ביתנו אז יוצא ומחכה לך לבן מכף רגלי ועד ראשי עם זר פרחים כדי לתת לך והם אומרים שלא תבואי הם צוחקים הם מאמינים שאת בכלל חלום עד שתבואי התבקתי על קירות קצת מדבקות סידרתי לך בובות על מדפים וגם בלגנתי לך משחק של קוביות על הרצפה וגם קניתי פעמודים לכבוד שבת נרות שיהיה לך להדליק וגם סימנתי סימנים על הדלתות לזכור בריתי איתך ואז כשירד הערב על ביתנו אז יצאתי לחכות לך לבן מכף רגלי ועד ראשי עם זר פרחים כדי לתת לך והם אמרו שלא מות תבואי הם צוחקים הם מאמינים שאת בכלל חלום נו רק תבואי יצאתי לחכות לך לבן מכף רגלי ועד ראשי עם זר פרחים כדי לתת לך הם אמרו שלא תבואי הם צחקו עליי הם מאמינים שאת חלום לא רק תבואי
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, I envy the future historians who will be scratching their heads over this period in American history, and how the opposition, how the pundits, how the people let this character Obama do what he has done. He has presided over the invasion of the United States by 680,000 people whose culture is inimical to American culture. You know, during the great waves of immigration to the U.S. in the 19th and 20th centuries, among whose teeming masses were my own grandparents, every one of them was coming to America as a place far better than the countries they left behind. They all wanted to become Americans, not hold on to the culture they were leaving behind, versus these Muslims who don't want to become Americans. They want Americans to become Muslims. And they are not above using deadly force to achieve this goal. And Obama is one of them. America is, or used to be, a wonderful society, if never a perfect one, and I fear too many people are oblivious to what it has become, and no less oblivious to the evil in this man. On Tuesday at the White House, he gave the Medal of Honor to Barbara Streisand and Steven Spielberg and Yitzhak Perlman, who are not the types to refuse the award, in order to make the statement that Obama is a villain, wrecking the U.S. and targeting Israel with an atomic bomb. Reading this report on this little ceremony at the White House, what came to mind was the holiday of Purim, whose story begins with a great banquet in the king's palace in Shushan, attended by the leaders of the Jewish community in exile, during which the king gloats over using utensils pilfered, looted from the temple in Jerusalem. One proper reading of the Megillah, the Scroll of Esther, that tells the tale of a desire for genocide in Persia, is that of a failed Zionist movement. The story of Purim takes place after Cyrus has allowed the Jews to return from exile, only most don't go, but prefer to remain in exile and be subjects of this pagan despot, mocking their defeat and going to a banquet held by him. Barbara Streisand was an amazing popular singer, Steven Spielberg a true artist in film, but as is so often the case, they have no ability to think clearly about politics, these artists and entertainers, and are oblivious to Obama's hostility to Jews and Israel. Today, though, the Times of Israel wrote up the uneasiness among some American Jews at how Obama and country and company reacted to last week's murder at the Gush of Ezra Schwalz, Hashem Yikom Demo, from Sharon, Massachusetts. Veteran JTA journalist Ron Compays opined that, quote, Jewish Americans are justifiably wounded by the distinctions Washington is making between Schwartz's death and others, close quote. Even in the lunatic left Haaretz newspaper, there Alison Kaplan Somer expressed her displeasure. She and others have been taken aback by the perfunctory announcement of the murder of Schwartz, this young American citizen. The State Department announcement was terse. Its spokesman, John Kirby, cold. There may even have been a hint of moral equivalence between Ezra and his Palestinian murderers, when no such leeway was implied between the ISIS maniacs in Paris and their victims. Well, I hope I survive the next months with Obama still in charge, and Americans in general, American Jews in particular, still refusing to speak the truth about this man, this traitor, bringing into the country 680,000 people whose culture is so opposite to America's. This is the fundamental change he spoke of. The Islamization of America. This guy is the enemy. And I say that as a Jew, an Israeli, and an American.
אשרי תמימי דרך ההולכים בתורת השם דע כי על ידי התורה מתקבלים כל התפילות וכל הבקשות שאנו מבקשים מתפללים והחן והחשיבות של ישראל נתעלה ונתרומם בפני כל מי שצריכים ברוחנים בגשמי אשרי תמימי דרך הולכים בתורת השם אשרי תמימי דרך הולכים בתורת השם עכשיו בעוונותינו הרבים חן וחשיבות האמיתי של ישראל נפל כי עכשיו עיקר החן והחשיבות הוא אצלם אבל על ידי התורה נתעלה אחר והחשיבות של ישראל כי התורה נקראת הילד אהבים ויעל אתכם שמעלכם על עומדיה ועל ידי זה מתקבלים כל התפילות והבקשות אשרי תמימי דרך הולכים בתורת השם אשרי תמימי דרך הולכים בתורת השם
A last thought, while the release of Jonathan Pollard is good news, the terms of his release only pour salt into the wound of the abysmal abuse he suffered at the hands of the U.S. government. I say that as one who has never been a big Pollard fan. I recently went to a lecture in Jerusalem by writer Edwin Black, who became part of the Pollard story by doing a controversial interview with him when that was not supposed to happen. Pollard was his own worst enemy in many ways, but that still does not excuse the excessive punishment or the terms of release in which he is being treated as if he was still in prison. And one can only speculate that the atmosphere surrounding his release has been influenced by the vibes emanating from the Muslim in the Oval Office. May he not live to execute his worst wishes against us. Okay, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.